Last book in the Old Testament, in case you don't know, okay, Malachi. And while you're turning there, I want to just hope everyone notices you walked in, you see the different decorations on the stage and stuff in the foyer. So Linda and Annette did that. So you can thank Linda and Annette for doing that. And also, you have to thank Rich, because Rich gave Annette and Linda all sorts of direction. And he carried a lot of stuff for them. And they told me personally they couldn't have done it without him. Something like that. Anyway, I do want to add on a more serious note about John Crawford. You know, I've known John over 25 years. I may have known him a long time. Servant, he's just been faithful, and he was just so, getting so weak. It was hard to see, but praise Jesus, he's strong now. Amen? He's strong now with the Lord, and so we thank God for John. We thank God for him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that the hope we have in you and the home we have in heaven. And Lord, we know we're not bound to this life and to the weaknesses of this life. And we have an eternity with you. And there will we rejoice. And we thank you for that. And so we just give you praise for John and the servant he was while he was here. And Lord, we just pray for his family. And we look forward to being able to celebrate his life in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I do pray that you would anoint me, and I just speak words of the Spirit and open each heart to receive of the Spirit as we look at something here that we surely wouldn't know unless you told us. And so we pray you open our eyes, give us insight, encourage us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Malachi 3:16. Let's start there. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Now, there's a lot there. I mean, that's kind of a interesting verse here. And you look at it, and the first thing is you look at it, just kind of grabs you. I mean, the whole book of Malachi is very interesting. But right here, the first sentence here says, those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. Now, I mean, to me, that just jumped off the page, because you have people who fear the Lord, and they're talking. They're talking with one another. So there's going on. There's a vision of God. There's a vision of his majesty, his power, his goodness. And so they see that. And because they see that as individuals, they're speaking to one another about that. So that's on their mind. And whatever is going on, that they're seeing the Lord and who he is. And because of who he is and his majesty and power, they're talking about it. I'd even go this far and say they couldn't help but talk about him. Couldn't help but talk about him. And so we put that, you know, we have that picture in our mind. But then it says, and the Lord paid attention and heard them. Now, to me, it says when we get together and we talk about the things of the Lord and his majesty and his power, and we're coming together discussing this, he's paying attention. Maybe the world's not paying attention, but he's paying attention. Not only is he paying attention, he's hearing. He's hearing. Just think of all our groups we get together, and you know, when we just talk of the things of the Lord, you know, what the Lord's doing, and encourage one another, or book study, or Bible study, or, you know, a home group and like that. And it's like the Lord is paying attention, and he's hearing us. You know, it goes back to that one verse we use all that's in Matthew, and it says this, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. Well, this verse says not only he's there, he's paying attention. He's paying attention to what we say. There's a real relational aspect to this. You know, the Lord said, oh my, talking about me, and I'm paying attention, and I'm hearing what they say. I am among them. Very relational, we see this. And so he's paying attention, and then I'm going to make this up because I don't know who it, because it says somebody, but it says, so he tells Gabriel, he said, look at these people, they're talking about me, and look here, and I'm making up Gabriel, but I'm sure he was there. Look here, get a book and write their names down. Get a book and write their names down. Hey, they're talking about me. They're praising me. They're asking about me. They're interacting. I'm among them. Hey, Gabriel, get a book. Write their names down. Because it said the Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Who's in the book? Those that feared the Lord, that was in awe, and they esteemed his name. He goes, write that down. Write that down. I want them in my book. They esteem my name. They're in awe of my majesty. And so write it in a book of remembrance. Now, so, again, you just look at the whole thing. It's just kind of a, to me, it, you know, the Lord, and well, he does it all the time, but in a verse like this specifically, we see in a picture of the spiritual, what's going on in the kingdom. I mean, we're here, you know, we're just duking it out, you know, going through life and just, you know, and God is, you know, and he's working with us and we're calling out to him. But we kind of get wrapped up in this world. But when we read something like this, like, no, we need to be more wrapped up in the Lord, because the Lord got his hand on this world and he's going to meet with us. He records our name because we're focusing on him and esteeming his name. We esteem his name and we get in the book. We get in the book. You know, that's a good place to be in God's book. Be in God's book. Now, and in this place, in this particular verse, it talks a book of remembrance. A book of remembrance. Now, so we think about this, just trying to put it in an earthly perspective. You have this book, it's a book of remembrance, and he's writing our names. He's writing our name. Why? Because we esteemed his name. That's the point. We esteemed his name. And we gathered together, we esteem him so much that we can't help talking about him. We can't help talking about him because we esteem his name. We know who he is and we understand his majesty. Now, I think, and I think have a biblical reason to believe this, that the book of remembrance is this heavenly roster, if you will. You know, who's on our team? Okay, here's the roster. Well, who's on God's team? Here's the roster. Okay, it's in his book. So this heavenly roster is actually the book of life. It's the book of life. And you see that referred to in the New Testament and other places. And so I really believe this book of remembrance is the book of life. People that God has written in his book that are going to have eternal life. Now, having this in mind, this, the title of the message is Book of Remembrance, so we, you know where we're staying here. We're going to stay on the book for a while. At the very end of time, we have this great white throne of judgment, okay? Now, you can remember that, great white throne of judgment, right there. You can just, something to stick with you. It's not a happy place, right? Great white throne of judgment. And what happens at this great white throne of judgment, something's really interesting. People are judged based on what they did. Isn't that interesting? They're judged. And it says at this great white throne of judgment, the books are open, plural. The books are open. You know, you got all the people in the world. It's going to take a lot of books to write down everything anybody's done, okay? So you've got this great white throne of judgment, and the books are open. But also there is a book open. Y'all with me? And you read this, you can kind of miss this. The books are open, and then there's a book open. Well, the a book open is the book of life. That's the book that's open. So you got all these other books, then you got a book open, the book of life. And all the names who are not found in the book of life, all the ones who are not found in the book of life, are doomed to the lake of fire. So, you know, that's the last book of the Bible. Okay, so it's, you know, it's kind of informative. In fact, look at this. Look at Revelation 20, verse 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, it's good to know kind of what the end, you know, point is. You know, what's going on? You know, does the Lord, is he ever going to come through on this? And, you know, forever and ever. Well, this puts the last dot in the book, kind of. Yeah, it all works out. Well, for us, it works out. It works out. But also, it tells us a lot of things. Either you're in the book or you're not in the book. Amen? I mean, it's real clear. You're in the book, you're not in the book. You know, there's not an addendum. There's not like a hanging chad. No, you're in the book or you're not in the book. And God's making this real clear and need to understand that. Now, another thing we see about this book of life is that we see it called something else. Because we look at the Bible and it's an unfolding revelation. It's an unfolding revelation. So we start in Genesis, and God keeps revealing things of himself, Christ and the redemption of man, and we finally get the full picture in the New Testament. Amen? And we get the closing chapter in Revelation. So it unfolds, and we have more understanding. And by the way, the church, he says, we got the understanding. You know, he clarified it. It's in the Bible here. So what we see also in Revelations chapter 21, 27, I have overhead here, that this book of life is really the Lamb's book of life. Okay, so see what's happening there? Oh, this book of remembrance, jot, jot. It really is the book of life, jot, jot. And this is really is the Lamb's book of life, jot, jot. See, so that's what he's talking about, the Lamb's book of life. And what this means in Revelation 21, 27 says, in heaven, I put that in parentheses so we don't read the two verses before that, but in heaven, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who's in heaven? Who goes to heaven? People in the book. That's it. People in the book of remembrance, people in the book of life, people in the Lamb's book of life. Same book. So who goes to heaven? People in the book. People in the book. So, you know, it should, you know, kind of perk our interest. Like, how you get in the book? You know, how do you get in the book? And the Lord tells us, he tells us how to get in the book. All of, you know, all the way through Malachi, from Genesis to Malachi, for all the Old Testament, he's unfolding about how to get into the book. And those that esteem his name, those that look to him, you know, those that are overwhelmed with his majesty and power, they gather together, their heart is focused on him. And there's been an unfolding revelation about Christ and how he fulfills all the things of the Old Testament. So we know that since it's the Lamb's book of life, it's Jesus' book. It's Jesus' book. This is Jesus' book. In Malachi, it was Jesus' book. But as they're unfolding, they didn't have the full revelation of Jesus. They understood the Messiah. They looked for the Messiah and stuff, but they didn't have the full understanding. But now we have the full understanding. That book is Jesus' book. So the names are written, the book of people that have eternal life are written in Jesus' book. So it's those who trust Jesus as their Savior that get written in the book, that get written in his. Now, it makes sense, okay? You have to trust Jesus to get written in his book. Well, I don't trust Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to write you my book. See, I mean, we kind of make that decision. He wants to write us in the book, but I don't believe in him. Okay, not written in the book, you know? Hey, I believe in him, okay? Name, okay, give him a name, address, telephone number, email address. No, I don't think. But you want to end the book. You want to end the book, all right? So it's the Lamb's book of life. Now, so we see the importance of being in this book. And what's interesting, and of course what it's telling here, it's giving us a picture. But the Lord says, no, I know who you are, and there's a record of you, and I'm putting you in the book. You're in the register. No, I've paid attention. I've written your name down. So it really drives home the, oh, all you come, whoever you are. No. Come, who I have written in the book, and I know you because I've written you in the book. You're on the list. You're on the list, if you will. Now, so we have that in our mind. So we look, well, what does God think about these people he's written in the book? This picture, okay? We got the picture of the book. Names are written in it. Names are written in it. And again, I hate to, well, it's the truth. I shouldn't hate to say it. If you're not written in the book, now it says people, just people. It's just people, right? All people. What happens if you're not written in the book? Lake of fire. Well, golly, God, that's awful harsh. You know, well, I won't talk to him about that in heaven. Right now, I just want the book. You know, I want in the book. Because he tells us what the option is. In the book or in the lake of fire. And it, well, what about? And you go, well, what about, are they in the book? I mean, that's it. No, they're not in the book. Okay. God's real clear. There's a lake of fire. There is a lake of fire at the end of time. There is a lake of fire. So, but, okay. But they were really good. They believed, no, well, they're not in the book. See, because they didn't esteem his name. I mean, that's how God's looking at this. Now, what does he think about the folks that do esteem his name, that are in the book? Are in the book. Well, it's really fascinating what he thinks of the ones in the book. Look at the next verse, Malachi 3:17. Malachi 3:17. They shall be mine. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. God says, they're mine. Now I'm going to ask you, who are his? The ones in the book. That's who. They are mine. Who are yours? Where are yours? They're in the book. How do you get in the book? I esteemed his name. See, that's the way into the book. See, I esteemed his name. I trusted on the Lord Jesus. See, and he goes, these are mine. These are mine. And then he goes and says, these are mine. They're my treasured possession. My treasured possession. So God's looking at the whole world. He says, oh, there's people that esteem my name. You esteem my name. They're my treasured. They're my treasured possession. I said, wow. And what you see here, now this is the last book in the Old Testament, but early on in the beginning of the Old Testament, book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, you know, it talks about God calling out his people. Like, yeah, he didn't have anybody, so he calls out Abraham. Abraham believed God. See, and they call Abraham a man of faith. And the Apostle Paul uses Abraham as an example of faith all through the New Testament. What was so great about Abraham? He believed God. That was it. See, he esteemed his name. Okay, Abraham's in the book. He's in the book. What? I mean, you read Abraham, you really messed up a couple of times. He goes, yeah, but I'm in the book. I believe God. I'm in the book. And so you see this, and so you see it later on as it calls out his people, calls out a whole people. And look at Exodus 19:5. He's calling out this whole group of people from Egypt. Israel from Egypt. He's calling this whole group out. And this is what he says about them. Exodus 19:5. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. I've got a people that esteem my name. They're my treasured possession. So when God comes and looks, he goes, oh, he's so happy with us. We're his treasured possession. So the whole world belongs to the Lord, but God wants a people who esteem his name. And he'll call him my treasured possession. I like the way it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. I have the overhead. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Now, what made these people holy to the Lord your God? And holy, if you holy means like set apart, and so it helps you understand this if you put that in there. For you are a people set apart to the Lord for your God. Set you apart. I just pulled all these people out. And it says, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And I've heard people say, why Israel? Why that? Why? And God even tells her, I think it's a really humorous verse. He goes, I didn't pick you because you were so good. No, I just picked you because I wanted a people. I picked you. It wasn't anything special. I made you special. Oh, okay. You know, so, but he pulls them out and he says, they're my people. Out of the whole world, I'm getting the people that will esteem me. And so I'm going to show myself really miraculous. And I go, wow, man, this is really something else, you know. And they esteem him. They're his people. They're called out people. And they're his treasured possession. They're his treasured possession. So it's like, gracious. I mean, it's hard to, when you look at this, to try to put in your mind how God's work and what he's doing and why. See, he's reaching into a lost world to pull out people that esteem his name that can be his treasured possession. Amen? So that's the whole picture. So this Old Testament picture, right? So we see this. Now, God, we see in Malachi, what has happened to Malachi, previous to Malachi, God has totally decimated Israel. I mean, just and he decimated Israel because they didn't esteem his name, wouldn't do what he says. He says, okay, we're done. Well, he also, within that nation that he decimated for their unbelief, there were people in there that esteemed him, like Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, to name a few, okay? And so these, within his nations, and what he did, he protected them, and he called, they were his, what was all he had of his treasured possession. The nations as a whole just tanked. But there were still people within it that were his treasured possession. And you can, of course, read Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, and you can see how he spoke to them. And so there were a few that he says, okay, I'll just take, I just got a few. I still got a few left. The whole nation didn't work out very well. Now, so we have this picture, and also we have this understanding, well, how Daniel, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel make it before Jesus. You know, they didn't know about Jesus. But they knew of a coming Messiah that they believed in, and they believed what God told them up to that point and esteemed his name. So they believed up to that point everything God told them. Amen? See? And so that's the picture of why it's unfolding. Now we get the full revelation. Full revelation in the New Testament. So what we have here, we see Israel is God's chosen race, holy nation, and a people of his own possession. And they are what? Written in his book. Written in a book. Written in a book. Now, this is a glorious picture of a people called God's treasured possession that is fulfilled. Keyword is fulfilled in the New Testament. So here you have this physical picture. I mean, can't you get this picture? It's a physical picture, a physical people, physical nation, physical rules, physical book, and we have an understanding of what God's talking about, all right? But then what we have in the New Testament is God expands it. He expands it out to God's called out people to expand it to the entire world. But here's how he does it. And it's really fascinating because Peter explains that the church is the people that God will call his people from every nation in the world. And this is important. Okay, with me. We got the picture, Old Testament picture, all right? Now God's going, this is where I'm going with this. This is how the whole thing works together. This is my point. This is how I'm going to evangelize the whole world. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and listen carefully. Now read this out of an Old Testament mindset. Out of an Old Testament mindset, okay? 1 Peter 2, 9. But you, now there's a but. Okay, it's contrasting with something else. But, okay. But you are a chosen race. Who's he talking to? I want y'all to work with me. Who's he talking to? Israel? Okay. He's talking to believers. Now, but you are, what about Israel? What about the, what? But you are a chosen race. Hey, we got hope. Who's got a little Irish blood in them? You know, who's got a little Italian blood in them? Who's got a little Indian blood? Whatever. Who's got a little, you know, what race? He says, no, you're a whole different race. You're a whole different. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. Who serviced the people in the Old Testament back and forth from the temple? Priest. People weren't allowed to go. Remember, people were not allowed. Only priests could go. You could go to the priest, and the priest would go in. You take a sacrifice to the priest. Priest did it. Priest take it in there. People couldn't go. But he goes, but you are chosen race, and you are the priest. We're the ones who can strut into the temple. Okay? We can go into the temple. Okay. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation. But Israel, no. We are a nation. A nation. Isn't that amazing? We are a functioning nation with a system of laws, with a head, a ruler, and a whole organization behind it. You are a holy nation. A people of his own possession. I mean, isn't that crazy? Think about it. I mean, up to Malachi, we have this picture of a called out people. So we can look at it, count heads, see how it works. This is what God's doing. We got an, okay, I got this picture. But how do you do? And God says, this is how I do it now. Now you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're a chosen race. You're a part of a chosen, you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people of his own possession, and you have a ministry. You got a job. That you may proclaim. How you proclaim? Study in your corner and pray quietly. How do you proclaim? How do your children proclaim? I want dinner now. That's how they proclaim. Okay, we have a ministry to proclaim. See, proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Tell people about your own salvation. I don't know about him, but I can tell you about me. You see what I'm saying? I mean, and I've told you this before, but it is humorous. You know, the kids I went to high school with, I'm at the 10-year reunion. God told me, God save you, he can save anybody. You know, the only message I had was me, you know? That was it. And that was enough for him to know that something happened. Holy cow. See? And that's all he's telling you to do. Well, I don't know the whole Bible. You just know about you. How'd you get here? And that's going to dumbfound everybody you know. Right? You get out of here. Get out of here. You're kidding me. See? It's you. You proclaim the excellencies. What happened to you? See? He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I got another story. I've told you something. I just love these stories. It happened that the guy called me, and this was, this is about 25 years ago or something. The guy called me up, and he called me, and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I know I've told you this, but it's crazy. He called me up. He said, hey, Tex. Now, as soon as he said, hey, Tex, I knew, okay, we're going way back. Because I moved from Texas to West Virginia. You get called Tex. Everybody up there still calls me Tex. He says, hey, Tex. And I'm going, click, click, click. Oh, my gosh. At 1 o'clock in the morning. And he goes, it's Jimmy. And I'm thinking, Jimmy. He goes, Somebody told me you're preaching. Is that true? I mean, 1 o'clock in the morning. I go, yeah, I am. Damn, I lost $25. That's our conversation. I haven't seen this kid in 30 years. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, you're doing okay. Yeah, man, I'm doing okay. I can't believe that. Hung up. So anyway, nice reunion we had there. But anyway, it's just like, couldn't believe. But see, that's what do you say? You proclaim his excellencies who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's all you got to know is what happened to you, and tell people what happened to you, and they'll be flat stunned. See? That's it. That's where you start. We may get, well, I haven't been to seminary yet. They can't tell anybody anything. You know, they get wrapped up in ivory tower. Nobody wants to listen to them. But just tell them what happened to you. You see what I'm saying? But this is what this is saying. And so Peter is saying, I'm telling you. You know, it's like God told Israel, I didn't call you because you were so good. I just did it out of my mercy. How did we get here? He didn't call me because I was so good. He just called me out of his mercy, and nothing changed. You see what I'm saying? So it's fascinating how Peter can tie all this together. But listen to this. We have a problem like, I really don't think we have a problem, but a perceived problem, a race relations. How could we have a problem with race relations if we're all one race? How could we? I mean, we're all one race. You know? What's your race? Christians. No, really. No, really, that's it. Christians. That's it. That's my race. That's my race. It's like, well, who can belong? Anybody trust Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It solves its, I mean, if you believe it, it solves its problem. So it's fascinating. And we are a people. We are a race in God's own possession. Okay? So the problem is solved by trusting Christ and being a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession. But I want to declare what? His excellencies. What? Declare what? What he did for you. That's it. That's your story. What he did for you. Now, if they ask other questions on that, you can ease out into other questions. But that's where you start. Well, this guy, I said, I don't know that guy. I just know what happened to me. But I saw this guy, and he's, I don't know. I just know what happened to me. You see what I'm saying? That's where you start. We get sucked into what somebody else did. Who knows what they did? But you know what he did to you. See? Amen? So, I mean, I think it's kind of exciting myself. So what we have here, the church are the people recorded in the book. Amen? The church are the people recorded in the book. Hallelujah. So we're all in one book. We're all in one book. Now, I love the last part of this verse. That's 1 Peter 2:9, but look at 1 Peter 2:10. And this so fits. It's so, once you were not a people. See, you weren't any, you weren't even nothing. You thought you were something. You weren't nothing. You're out there fighting, making stuff, and doing a hoopla about this, that, and the other. You were nothing. Okay? Once you were not a people. You were not a people. But now, you're the people of God. Amen? But you weren't even a people. But now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you received mercy. Amen? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? See, and you think about this, and this picture that God has painted for us, a picture, I mean, it's the truth. It's not just a picture. The kind of the picture is the Old Testament. But he's letting us grab the whole truth of the whole situation now. And he says, and you start off with Malachi, what did these people do? What did these people do? And what they did, he said, and the people feared the Lord, and they spoke with one another. See? And then what we hear in 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, and it says, they proclaim his excellencies. You know, this will really, I don't want to, well, yes, I do. Okay. This will really help you choose your friends. In fact, you won't even have to choose your friends. They'll choose whether they want to be your friend. All you got to do is talk about the excellencies of Christ. Okay? And they get tired. They say, nah, I don't want any of this nonsense. You see, what did you do? Well, I just told them how I came to know Jesus. You know? In separation. You didn't separate. You just esteemed his name. Didn't you? See? This is good to really get your kids shouting about Jesus, you know? Because it'll help pick their mate. Think about that. Think about it. Think about what I just said. Are you going out to that holy Jesus girl? Oh, God. What? What'd she do? She just proclaimed Jesus. It will pick your friends. It will pick your mate. It will pick a lot of things. And all you did is go, look what he did for me. You see what I'm saying? So it's really, 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 really simple. Simple, okay? Now, so we have this commission. And again, this, you really should mark these verses in Peter, 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10. Because what 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10, it explains. It explains what happened in the Old Testament, how you got here. I mean, it explains it, and it makes other things fit together. You see what I'm saying? And so it's really helpful. And it says, you weren't a people, but he made you a people. He gave us you his commission. And the commission is say, just tell what happened to you. Just tell what happened to you. Now, brothers and sisters, we're in the world that tells us don't speak, don't meet, don't, and keep Jesus to yourself. Right? This is the same thing they said to the beginning church. They said the same thing to them. Look at Acts 4:8. Church has just started. Church has just started. These people are going crazy about Jesus, all right? Acts 4:8. So we need to have a meeting with these guys. Acts 4:8. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't care what you're doing. You stop that. That's what they did. The beginning church. How do you stop the church? Stop them from talking. That's it. You stop them from talking. See? So don't be surprised when we're told to be silent. However, as a people written in the book of life, we boldly answer the same way Peter and John did. Same way. Look at Acts 4:19 through 20. See, nothing's changed. By the way, have you noticed that? Nothing. You're looking, oh, I've never seen anything like this. Just read some history. This is just a repeat. It's just repeat. That's all it is. Acts 4:19 through 20. Peter, John, just let us put it short. Shut up. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. What are you speaking of? Well, I heard Wallace say, no, you better not do that one. I heard, actually, no, I better not do that one. No, you're going to speak about, you can't help but speak. You can't help but speak of what you have seen and heard. See, that's all you got to do. What do you know? I don't know nothing. Are you a believer? Yes, we know something. Are you not a believer? You're not even in the book. I mean, if you just say, I'm in the book. What else? I don't know. I'm in the book. But just say something, you know. That'll cause somebody to say, what, that is crazy, but they're in the book. What book they talk about? Oh, it'll lead to something. But at least you know you're in the book. You go, not sure, but I think it has something to do Jesus. Yeah, I'm in the book. Hey, you say I'm being a little facetious, but we build up this thing like we have to, you know, be a whole encyclopedia of the Christian faith before we can talk to anybody. And God is saying over, no, just tell them what happened to you. You're the biggest miracle walking right now. Just tell them. And they'll say, oh, my God. They saved you. They saved anybody. Holy cow. See, that's what's happened. And when we're challenged to stop teaching about Jesus, when they were challenged to stop teaching about Jesus, they refused. Look at Acts 4:29. But Peter and the apostles answered, We must obey God rather than men. I mean, there it is. It's not confusing. I mean, if one doesn't read their Bible, it can get really, really confusing. If somebody doesn't know what happened to you, you know, you need to have, you know, go sit down with your local pastor, you know, or something. It gets, you know, because it's really, you're in the book or you're out of the book. Amen? That it's simple. You're in the book or you're out. Well, what? You're in the book or you're out of the book. How you get in the book? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So, as the early church, see, I'm just staying in chapter 4 of Acts on this, because this is where all the stuff happened. And so here's the message that the people in Acts were proclaiming. This is what was upsetting everybody. This is what up, and this is what's upsetting everybody now. Same thing. Acts 4:12. See, just Acts 4. I mean, it's a great chapter there. Acts 4:12. This is what they were saying. And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the problem. That's the problem then. That's the problem now. Well, what about such? I don't know. I just know I'm in the book. What about them? I don't know. I think they need to end the book. I'm in the book. I mean, don't go down their rabbit hole. They know what they're talking about anyway. Listen to me. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't. Even if they're wrapped up in a brilliant lie, bottom line, they don't know what they're talking about. See? Jesus didn't talk to them. Jesus didn't talk to them. I love it what the Sadducees said. Well, what about this resurrection? Why do you tell me about that? He said, well, your problem is you don't understand the power of God or the Scriptures. That's good enough. Oh, really? You know, but you see what I'm saying? Don't get wrapped up in their nonsense. Hey, I just know about me. And it's going to drive them crazy because you believe it. It is. It's going to really upset them because you believe it. So how? So when this, we're in the book. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the book. Amen? And then we move forward being in the book, and he says, I'll show you more stuff once you're in the book. Once you're in the book. Hallelujah. Well, I think we should sing a praise on that, okay? On the book of remembrance. So the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb's book of life is the book of remembrance. And who he is remembering, and what we learn in Malachi, who is remembering all those who esteemed his name. See, he's not telling you to do something. Well, I got to nail them to the wall and force. No, you just esteem his name and say what happened to you and see if they have any more questions. That's it. It really is easy. Satan is making it hard for us. Satan is making it hard for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear God, we are in the book. We thank you that we have eternal life. And we're going to proclaim that we are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been purified through him, and we have an eternal home in heaven. We give thanks to him, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.